In this episode, we explore the hidden dangers of superhero syndrome at work, relying on a few stars while the rest struggle. Join Philip Zada as we unpack the burnout, knowledge silos, and missed potential this creates. I'm your host, Anthony Pearl, and this is Level Up Transformation. Philip, I wanted to ask you about a term that you and I discussed off air, and I wanted to bring that to people's attention because maybe I was not aware of it before, superhero syndrome. Talk to me a little bit about that idea because I love the concept.
Oh, yeah, it's one of my favorites. I've seen it in a lot of organizations that I've gone into, whether it be government, medium, large, even small startups. So what it is in a nutshell, and again, not taking a dig at anybody, I call it superhero syndrome. So it's where you have this one key person or one or two key people that are your central knowledge for anything in relation to that area of business in terms of the IT. Whether they're the lead developers or they're the smartest person there, and it's like everything has to go through them. They're reluctant to delegate any of the work. They're the ones, okay, just leave it with me. I'll do it for you and I'll get it to you in a week, that kind of thing. You know, they're highly involved in every aspect of a project. Now, it could be coming from a place of love where they really care and passionate about this thing, which is great. But from an organization, it's risky, if you can understand that. You know, they're not really good at collaborating, but by doing that, they see themselves burning out as well because it's just everything's on them. So if they take a day off and they're sick or they go on holiday, then everything stops. And that's a big risk. You know, that's where you get your operational risk coming out of it. You get a technological risk because, you know, things like how do you know what they're saying is the right way? And as soon as you try to speak about something else, they get offensive and, you know, defensive about it. And they have a resilience to changing their ways. Like there's a couple of projects that I've been brought in on where I met a couple of superhero syndromes where they were doing things like even going into open source libraries and creating their own version because they didn't like the way the open source project worked. And that was a big risk to the organization because, yes, they could say they were using open source, but they weren't really. They were using a flavor of it, which was completely disconnected from what the project really was. And so what happened in 12 months' time when that library was essentially updated, they couldn't touch their code. They had to rewrite everything from scratch. And that developer unfortunately decided, hey, I think it's about time I leave the organization. So they had spent two and a half, three years building out this platform, which was basically have to start again. Which was really unfortunate.
Yeah, I absolutely hear you on that. I can share similar stories in the past where things have been written in a particular way by an individual and not been documented sufficiently along the way. And everybody uses their own logic in creating things, even sometimes when it's in an open source kind of environment. And the time that it can take, depending on the size of what they're building, to understand how and why they've built it in a particular way, let alone understanding the restrictions based on things like technology available at the time and whatever the business was trying to work out, can just, you know, if it's not documented properly and there's not other people brought into the process, can leave you, as you say, in a point where you may as well rebuild it. And that's the last thing you want to do if you've invested a serious amount of time and resources into it.
Yeah, and I just like to add, it's not always a bad thing. I know this is kind of a little contradiction here, but the reason I'm saying that is in some cases it's needed because there is nobody stepping up to take that lead and saying, hey, this is the way we should be doing it. But what I'm trying to say with the superhero syndrome is they don't feel like they have to bring people along with the journey. Whereas if there was somebody who stepped in and took that lead and said, you know what, I'm going to help lead this project. I'm going to get the platform in the way, the framework, because this is how we do business and we want to get the software right and the technology right. But then bring everyone along with them so there's no risk. So if they get, you know, this is one of the terms I've heard in so many engagements, ridiculous. What if Phil got hit by a bus tomorrow? That kind of thing. And that's what I actually say to people and say, you know, so that was really early on in my career. And I used to say, okay, well, let me bring some people with me. So we might not have time to document. And I know that's being really brutally honest about it because there's a lot of projects that don't have any documentation purely because the team aren't given sufficient time to do that. At least if they bring that collaborative knowledge with them and more people with them, then it's less risk to the organization.
Having that foresight, isn't it, to know what what might happen in, in future-proofing yourself when you're building it. And as you say, I know it's that centralization of knowledge and skills, which is, you know, an important piece for people to understand the implications of that.
Yeah, correct. Like if don't get me wrong, if there's, you know, people in the organization who feel, hey, this is a better way of doing something, and they can explain it and they can get agreement and show it working, great. But then that becomes integrated into the platform that is that technology, right? Or that organization. And that's just all about risk mitigation, because then you just mitigated your risk right there, because you've got agreement, everyone understands it, and just, you know, you go forward.
Which probably alerts to the other big problem that comes in, I imagine, in this when you're looking at superhero syndrome, is that you've got this reluctance of people to delegate because, for whatever reason, they're holding on to their own bit of knowledge.
Yeah, it's interesting, because one of the things that I find, especially in the tech space, there's a lot of resilience to sharing knowledge. And I find that really surprising, because one of the things at Zedware we do, and, you know, not trying to do a bit of a plug here, is that we openly share knowledge. That's in our motto, because we know there's enough work out there, and you need the different blend of people with their own personal experiences to be able to see things in a different light. And if you share that collaboration, and they see your point of view and you see theirs, and you work together. And in the tech space, where technologists feel that they hoard knowledge is because they think it threatens their job if they share too much, because then it makes them less valuable to the organization. They can be replaced. And this is one of the things that people need to understand, that if you're in a position where if you shared everything you knew and then they could replace you, then that might not be the best place for you to be.
100%, isn't it? And it is the truth, isn't it? Because, and I think that's a difficult concept for a lot of people, because historically, people used to stay in jobs for very long periods of time. And it was not unusual. I know when I first started in a particular organization, and this is going back some 20 odd years now, and I was there for a few years, but there were people that had been there 30 or 40 years. And so the idea of becoming irrelevant in a job or moving to another job where you can offer them the skills that you'd offered in a previous one is a foreign concept to a lot of people. And it's a difficult one to change that whole way of thinking.
Yeah, it is. It surprised me in the beginning when I started out my career, and it's become the norm now. You'll find that very often in an organization, and it's unfortunate, but, you know, it's about trying to work with those people and making them feel comfortable and secure enough that they can collaborate openly without worrying about their jobs.
And just a reminder that this podcast is made possible by Zedware, software development and consulting solutions to help increase efficiency in your business. For information on how to get in contact with Philip and the Zedware team, go to zedware.au. Of course, look in the show notes for more information, and don't forget to subscribe. Now back to the podcast. Yeah, and I think that, you know, what happens in those scenarios as well, of course, is that people end up very involved in every step of the way, and collaboration isn't what it should be.
Yeah, correct.
It's important, isn't it, that we see that people understand that whole idea of how to share, and that is intrinsic to it. As you say, that's, you know, a motto for your business, but it's often easy to say that. It's a lot harder for people to deliver it.
One of the things that we've done when we've come into an organization is we start to do things like internal hackathons, where we'll literally pull people up and say to them, okay, well, today we're going to solve this problem. How would you do it? And then they inadvertently start to share their knowledge. And then they find, oh, they get feedback, whether it's positive or negative, and it gets them more confident in that space. So it actually helps them break down that barrier and to basically allow them to just open up and feel more comfortable.
I love that. It's such an interesting thing, isn't it? Because when we operate in silos, we tend to think that we need to operate in silos. Bringing in that kind of collaborative approach, it can be transformational for a business itself anyway, because particularly at a time when we have a lot of people that operate remotely, or if they're larger businesses, they can have several different offices in different locations. So collaboration again, is not a something that is necessarily native to businesses and to governments these days, is it? It's something that you actually have to promote it.
Yeah, correct. Because that was one of the main reasons why they're trying to push everyone back to the office, because executives and bosses are feeling that the collaboration in an organization is dying because everyone's working remotely and no one's really talking to each other. Yes, it was great, you know, and oh, not great, but when COVID started, everyone was online in teams and dressed up. And then towards the end, people were still sitting in their PJs and just doing their job and finishing and they're done. But yeah, pushing that collaboration internally and giving people time to actually do that without hitting them with a million and one tasks where they feel they don't have the time to collaborate, you actually see a tangible benefit in the output from your people.
Yeah, absolutely. And more people that are learning and growing and helping the business or the government do the same thing is so critical to creating more efficient and more effective workplaces.
Well, you're seeing that now, especially with what's happening with the government recently, where they're reducing their reliance on consultants because they saw that all that knowledge was sitting with the consultancies. Internally, people weren't really interested in knowing how to do this tech or how to do that, especially in the technology sector. And that's where if there was more collaboration, more knowledge share, and that was promoted, then we may have averted this problem a bit better.
A little bit of a side note, but what actually has happened, of course, is that with a lot of workplaces, people have been driven out to become consultants to then go back to the same places they were working in before. But you still have this scenario and this reluctance to share the information or to collaborate with it. So it is how you actually make sure that that process benefits everybody rather than just changing a work scenario to suit, you know, a financial short-term gain.
Yeah. It's all about the, you know, internal ecosystem and the work environment. How do you want yourself to be perceived, essentially? And that comes back down to the confidence score I was talking about earlier with digital transformation.
Yeah. Look, and continuing this theme around superhero syndrome, you know, the risk of burnout must be huge when people are holding on to all of this and thinking that they've got to be the person that runs it all. It baffles me that people want to take this on, because I gather you've seen this in fairly extensive and large projects where that is a absolute reality.
Yeah, so one of the things that we've seen, especially recently, because we do it basically what we call a health check, we're going to an organization or a project and we see how they're performing from an external perspective. And one of the scores, one of the metrics we do is cognitive load. And you find that that's actually increased in the last few years. So this all ties back to the whole FOMO of missing out on tech and having a lot of things that need to get done, where, you know, the mental effort required to perform jobs is effectively growing, especially in the tech space. And it's not just understanding complex system, it's also learning new technologies, troubleshooting problems, developing the solutions, you know, multitasking, and, you know, what tools, the documentation. And you're basically just putting more and more weight on this person. And eventually they're just going to break down and burn out. That's grown recently, especially with the current downtrend in the IT sector, where, you know, people are being let go, especially in organizations, and that work is still there. It's just being shifted and being centralized to, you know, less people to do. And that risk is, if anything, one of the highest risk profiles at the moment, because if that person that you've, you know, so you've had a team of five people, you've got it down to two to save costs because you have to, unfortunately, but your workload is still the same, and those two people burn out, what do you do then? They decide to leave tomorrow. You know, the whole thing is done, you know, and that's a big risk.
Thanks for listening to the Level Up Transformation podcast. Contact details for Zedware and Philip Zada are included in the show notes. This show has been produced by Podcast Done For You. I'm your host, Anthony Pearl. Don't forget to subscribe and listen in to the next episode.